You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Supreme Raiders of Resale, living the dream. From whatnot to eBay, we score the loot. Vintage finds in every pursuit. Tips to cash in, story so grand. Reselling Raiders, rulers of the land. Reselling Raiders, treasure we chase. Hat house fired up, coaching the race. Vintage hat. Raiders of Resale, living the dream. Oh, tune in, hear the lore. Reselling Raiders, always more.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Reselling Raiders podcast, live from the Hat House. I'm Hat House, joined by Coach Porch and Fired Up Finds.
Hello, everybody.
Tonight, we're going to deep dive into, we definitely had some banger sales. None bigger. I thought I was going to have the big sale to talk about, but I didn't. I came up short by.
Oh, we came up short combined.
Yeah, I think so.
And multiplied by 100.
Yeah. So we're definitely going to get to some of our banger sales that we had. Fired Up had a grail sale, we'll say. And we also have some other exciting news as well. You can find this podcast anywhere you can find your podcast now, whether it's on Spotify, Apple, YouTube Music, iHeart, Pandora. Yeah,
Joe Rogan better watch out, dude, because we're coming for the crown.
Joe Rogan does not know what's coming for him.
Yeah.
Because you can find us anywhere now. So make sure, make sure you download them there. You can always watch on the YouTube channel as well. But the second exciting news that I got, we got a sponsor, fellas. A sponsor.
Stop it. Somebody lost a bet.
Every podcast, it just wouldn't feel right if we didn't start out with like a sponsor read, right? Somebody has to pay for this. But we got
going to be us.
we got Applebee's. Applebee's is on board with us. So,
baby!
Yeah, eating good in the neighborhood. Here's your ad read. If you like microwave meals, hot flat beer, and steak you can choose for days, head out to Applebee's. Eating good in the neighborhood.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Eating good. Literally in the hood.
Do y'all frequent Applebee's?
Oh, totally. Oh, I go to Applebee's. I go to Applebee's so much. Applebee's my favorite food. $20 five piece shrimp.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. So four times a week.
So if y'all don't want to be on the next ad read, any of you sponsors out there, make sure you hit me up.
And yeah, Chili's, you're next, dude. I got some.
Chili's is on deck.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to it. Definitely want to talk about the big sales that we've had and some bolos. So we'll kick it right over to Fired Up Finds. We'll find out how he hyped it up for 2 weeks, and it didn't disappoint. So let's hear about it.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you guys for all being there. Steven, thanks for being there. Coach, obviously, thank you for being there. I think I touched on it last week when I said Coach has literally been on my Whatnot shows since the very first show. So it was kind of cool just to have like the entire year go through, you know, build yourself a little following and everything like that. And like the same guy that was there in the very first one was there, not in the last one, but, you know, and like a milestone one. So that was cool. So basically, like I told you guys, I've more or less I had saved up a lot of the best things that I found over the last, it wasn't a total year, but over the last, you know, eight months or something like that, probably. And I'd sprinkle in like some really good ones every single show, but like all of the best stuff I put into a bin off to the side and just wanted to have this one big show. So when I got a Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I knew that the Red Hot Chili Peppers was going to be a good shirt when I originally got it. And I thought a multi-$100 shirt, you know, I didn't think it would go into the four figures. And I looked it up online. I probably spent 2 hours just trying to find out where, like what this shirt came from. And I couldn't find anything. The closest thing that I found was like one that sold for like $600 or $800 like 4 or 5 years ago. And that's the, and you know, and it was kind of like on an obscure site I hadn't heard of before. So I was kind of like, whatever, we'll see. That's kind of that's the good thing about an auction. You know what I mean? Is that, you know, you can find it out. That's why we talked 2 weeks ago about the pre-listing, because a lot of my lack of knowledge, I can pre-list, you know what I mean? Yeah. So this shirt on the screen, I have this in the store. Everybody, the whole show is saying, run this. Not a pro tip, because I'm definitely not a pro, but a tip for anybody that's getting into this: if you have things that are really good, and especially if they're preloaded, don't feel pressured by the chat, especially if you have 70, 80. I mean, there's over 100 people in there for a little while. Don't feel pressured by the chat to run all of the best stuff that you have at the very beginning of the show. You know what I mean? You can stagger out some of the best things because you always want something to look forward to. So anyway, I'm checking on this shirt the whole night, looking at the pre-bids. And they were stuck at like $90. And so towards the end of the show, I look at, somebody says it again, look at it. And the pre-bid is like $1,200. Wow. And I'm like, bro, you know, and normally things like that don't happen, not to that level, but you know, sometimes something will get pre-bidded really high, you know, higher than what you expect. And somebody in the chat will be like, hey man, like I put an extra zero on accident. You know what I mean? And then other people in there will be like, oh, this guy. So then they'll purposely go and put extra money on this item to get it up there. But I didn't see any of those chats. So I was like, this is super interesting. So I'm like, well, shit, we're going to run it.
Now, because everybody kept talking about the, you kept the focus on the Morocco.
Yeah. See, and that's another one that I knew was a good one. But that the reason I didn't run that one off the bat was, like I said, in the show, I was like, this is a me thing, not a you thing. I was like, that's just one thing that I really liked a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, everything else, I was like, I didn't really have an attachment to, but specifically because like it was a Jacksonville thing. You know what I mean? It's obviously super old, and I just liked it. I liked and how we found it. You know what I mean? Like everything about it is I really liked it. So I wanted it to go for a good price, solely based on my emotional attachment, which is never a true value. But
you know, that actually came through as you were doing the show, and people kept asking about it and kept coming up, and it, you could feel your attachment to it the way you were describing it.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Like, dude, that's got to go much. I mean, he was dead serious, man.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, I was.
That's not even close. I love that code. Yeah. And I am not selling it for that.
So, yeah. That's why I told him, listen, I said, I'm a man of my word. I will run that. I'll run it even if the pre-bid was $1, but it's going to be at the very end. You know what I mean? Like, I want to give the max time to get some air under that because, dude, we dug through a massive warehouse on the north side of Jacksonville filled with everything. Dude, there's a fire engine inside of it. You know what I mean? And that's where we found that jacket at. So it's just like, you know, it's just like, it's a whole experience. But anyway, I look at the Red Hot Chili Peppers and it's at $1,200 is the pre-bid. So I'm like, well, dude, I was like, well, I guess we're going to run it. You know, Amanda's not here. You know, like I had a bunch of my family was watching. It was super interesting. And so I pull it out. I'm like, there was a small yellow stain on the back. I did my best to get out. I could have gotten it all the way out, but it is what it is. But other than that, there's no rips, no anything. And they, three guys in there end up running that shirt up to $2,060. And that's what it sells for. And I'm like,
now did you hold your breath at the end?
I did because obviously you guys know as Whatnot sellers, when anybody on here that has never done a Whatnot show, as the seller from our point of view, when you buy something or when whoever buys something, it'll come up at the top of your screen green and it'll say Hat House 79 payment processed or whatever. And it's in green. That means his card is accepted and everything's fine. Or it'll say Hat House 79's payment has been declined or whatever. And it's in red and it'll stay in red at the top of
your screen. It'll stay there. Says pending
forever.
Payment so, pending.
Exactly. And so if that happens, then you don't actually get the money from that item until they either fix their payment or, you know, it's a cancel or whatever happens. So when the 2060 and it hits sold, I immediately look up at the top and I see green and I'm like, oh shit, dude. I'm like, this was something way more incredible than obviously I had originally thought.
And $2,000 is amazing.
$2,000 is like,
you also have to. The problem on Whatnot where you have like trolls going around and running shit up to astronomical numbers and then running out of the room because they got you to sell it. They can't pay.
Hey, is your pager going off?
Nah, it's my Bluetooth just chimed out. It's my my sensor on my arm.
Oh, see,
it's disconnected. So it alarms me when it's going off. So I had to turn my Bluetooth back on.
I thought you were getting paged into work, dude. I was like, wait a second. He's going to look at his little thing.
Yeah.
A couple of things I want to point out about your sale. One, I think it was like perfectly executed as far as getting it organized from the beginning and the way that you went through and you preloaded every single one of those items. You wouldn't have had the same type of show if you didn't do that. I mean, that was the way to do it. And then I think you made a comment about how you didn't want to do hats and shirts again, but I think the way that you did do it was the way that you had to really kind of sticking it in the middle there. And if you did it over again, would you just cut the hats out?
No, I would still, because it was like in my mind, and I don't know if like I conveyed it as well, but in my mind, I wanted like the 1 year thing to be like all of the shit that I love the most. You know what I mean? Like the thing that I like to go out and find the most, you know, like, I still like going out and finding some golf stuff, but it's so, you know, it's not hard for me to find those things. And everything that was in that show last Monday night was, you know, everything was super hard for me to find. Like that was, you know, it's hard stuff to find. It's not just an everyday I can go out and get that stuff. And so I just wanted it to be like, this is like, and we talk about all the time, sourcing and like, you know, one of my things is getting on the road. And like, I put, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of hours that have went into, you know, not just finding those exact pieces, but you know, everything that, you know, the 4,000 items that I've sold this year on Whatnot. And so it's just kind of like this, I was like, dude, listen, I love vintage hats. You know what I mean? I probably love vintage hats more than I love anything else. But it's like I've also found this like new passion of where I love vintage t-shirts and jackets and like, you know what I mean? Like sports stuff. And it is a pain in the ass to do it only from a shipping aspect. You know what I mean? Not to run the show, but just after the show when you got to put in the work on the back end. It's just
you have to hand pick every single one of those items back out and find them because you put a picture with the actual listing.
Yeah.
I don't know. And something that I wanted to get people that may not run Whatnot shows. How do you think when did you start getting like pre-bids on those items? So like when, once you loaded it, how long did it take you to start getting some actual pre-bids? Was it like when the show actually started, people actually started bidding?
So or, I'm sorry, go ahead. For that show specifically, because I knew there were so many things in there that, you know, if you go to eBay or whatever, were multi-hundred-dollar items. I made sure to load that show up. I think it was almost completely loaded, like 3 or 4 days in advance of the show. You know what I mean? Because I knew that that these things were expensive, and everything, the highest pre-bid that I had was on like a random Harley Davidson shirt. It was like $30. You know what I mean? But the Metallica and like the Chili Peppers, you know what I mean? Those were all, I think when the show started, dude, I think it was like an $11 pre-bid or something like that. You know what I mean? So like everything had a little bit of a pre-bid, almost everything had a little bit of a pre-bid, but you know, it would just be one or two bids. You know what I mean? It wasn't as much as I hoped, but definitely the day of the show, like, you know, the Metallica went up to like 50 something, which is, you know, it's still obviously super low, but it's, you know, it had been sitting at a dollar or whatever, you know, the last handful of days. So,
really it was just showtime. Once showtime actually happened,
Yeah,
then people actually started getting engaged. They knew that you were actually going to run it, and it was going to happen.
Yeah. Cause I think that's, I mean, that's one of the things too, right? Is that you can, and I've done this, I've done this plenty of times where I'll go and there will be like a old Jags piece that I'm really liking. And the show says that it starts, you know, tomorrow at 5. And so I'll place a pre-bid on it. And then next thing you know, tomorrow at 5 comes. And then I see that show is now scheduled for the next day at 5. And then, you know what I mean? And then sometimes that'll happen for weeks on end to where you just forgetting about it. And then you get a notification on your phone that says that this item that you've pre-bid is running. You know what I mean?
And
you're like,
and it's sold for $6, one more dollar than you pre-bid.
And you're like, oh dude, I pre-bid on that thing like literally a month ago. Like I totally forgot about that. You know what I mean?
All right, let's shout out the chat real fast. Let's see who FSJ has made it into the chat. We got David G. Good to see you, David. And we got Donnie again. He says we're on the living room tonight. We're on the big screen.
They're watching us now.
Dang, check that out.
Really appreciate
my screen small, dude. Like, I don't want you to see this big old mug, dude.
Well, really appreciate going back to what you were saying, though, I think it's a positive that you preloaded the show 2 or 3 days ahead of schedule, because I can't tell you how annoying it is to open up a show and see nothing there.
Yeah.
And then day after day, nothing there till the show starts. And it's like, can I get like a hint?
Yeah. I do want to tell you guys, I'm not sure it won't be long, but I don't even think that you guys, I don't think I've even told you guys how I even acquired. Have I told you guys how I actually got that shirt?
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
No, not specifically.
Okay.
That I know of.
So I end up meeting a guy, right? And
this is sounding shady already.
So this is ridiculous.
Was it a dollar?
No, I didn't pay it. I didn't even pay. I paid $0 for it. That's the craziest part. So he has a big trash pile out in front of his house. Okay. And so I'm like, you know me, I don't care. I'm not too prideful to go digging trash. I'm not. And so there were some clothes in there. So I picked out the two t-shirts from that trash pile, and they were good shirts. And I was like, what are the chances this guy has more shirts? So I just walk up to his door. And I literally knock on his door, and he has a glass door, and I knock on his door, and he answers the door with no shirt on. And I'm like, hey man, I'm like, you have a bunch of old clothes out here, and I found a couple of things. I was like, do you have any other shirts that you'd be willing to sell me? And you know, I'm in not the best part of my city. And so I pull out like, you know, a fair sum of cash to be like, a little more inviting to this stranger knocking on his door. And he literally is like, yeah, come in. And I'm like, okay. And, he's an older guy. And so we walk down the hallway back to like one of the bedrooms or whatever. And he opens up this armoire, and inside the armoire are, I mean, there's still shirts over there, and they were all just bunched up into balls thrown into this armoire. So at first he pulls me out this ZZ Top and he's like, here, you can have it. And I'm like, well, this is kind of wild. And then he pulls me out the Metallica and says, I can have it. And then he pulls me out, you know, there's like a couple other shirts, like a couple like local shirts. Here, you can have them. And then he pulls out the Red Hot Chili Peppers and he's like, you can have it. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And there's two old Jack's hats that I got. And I was like, dude, this is wild. So like I said, I had cash on me. So he gives me like seven shirts and then the two hats. And so I give him $100 and I'm like, here, man. I'm like, I didn't want them for free. I just wanted to see if there you had more that that you could sell. And he literally starts crying and he's like, dude, you have no idea how much this helps me. You know, he's like, I got to get my teeth pulled. It's $600 to pull my teeth. And like this $100 helps me out a lot. And I'm like, dang, dude, I'm like, that's pretty crazy. So after this sale happens, you know what I mean? And it comes out to be a $2,000 shirt, at least on Whatnot. Who knows? You know, it could be a $10,000 shirt. Who knows? And so I'm like, next time I'm over on that side of town, I'm going to swing back by and be like, here, man, like, here's just an extra $200. I like not even if I can't get another shirt from them. But like, dude, here's another $200. I'm not even really going to tell them like, you know, exactly what happened because, yeah, I don't really know why. But I'm just going to be like, dude, here's a couple extra $100 because, you know what I mean? It's just like the way that I came up like across that shirt is insane.
I made a few dollars on this. Here, let me kick you back 10%. I mean, that's awesome. But
that's fantastic.
I can't believe that that's the story of the shirt that is actually.
Yeah. And the very last little thing about this afterwards, I told Amanda, I was like, this is crazy. So I was like, I have to figure out what is this shirt? It's got to be somewhere on the internet. So yesterday I'm at work and I end up finding out that that shirt came from a tour that the Chili Peppers did in 1993. And it was six shows. They did six shows. They did two here in America. They did two in Brazil and two in Argentina. And the two shows that they did in America, one was at the Grammys and the other one, it was at a university. I can't remember, but it was on the West Coast. So the fact that the only two shows that year that they did in America were on the West Coast, and I find it balled up in an armoire on the west side of Jacksonville, the complete opposite direction.
Crazy. Yeah, you got to try and find a little more backstory when you go back. I mean, you got to be like, hey, was he the original owner? Yeah. I mean, did he find it at a garage sale himself, or was he at the concert? I mean,
he could have been a roadie.
I mean, he could have, you know, like, I mean, the guy's probably, I mean, he's probably got to be in his 70s, maybe. Wow. So, you know.
Yeah. Most of the time when
a former roadie and he's in his late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times when those shirts really, and hats are that way a lot too, and they really start creeping up in price is when somebody famous has worn that piece or wore it in some spot that
some celebrity had the Red Hot Chili Pepper shirt on the runway or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Somebody might have known at some celebrity that had worn that shirt.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Those are like the small little like niches that are in almost anything that are they know that you know this person wore this and that's why you know it's. I mean, that's the whole reason that Carhartt is unbelievably expensive because all of the, you know, a lot of famous actors and rappers and stuff like that started to wear that workwear style.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the price just in the community and on the street skyrocketed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Same happened for just basic polo hats last year. Taylor Swift started wearing them. And then I saw a jump in that month that she was caught with a picture of one on and sold almost all my polo hats in 1 month. It's crazy.
Literally crazy.
It's hard to keep up with it too.
I mean, you got to be locked into like the whole, you know, like whatever culture that's called, you know, like the tabloid culture or whatever. I don't know. Right. That's why, you know, I'm like, listen to your podcast. Tell me what the hell's going on. You know? Like, I have no idea.
I don't either. I had two huge sales last week. They weren't 2000 $6, but I told everybody I was stepping outside and I was doing a little bit more. And so I've been bidding on this auction site that does like returns. The problem with it is it's like a couple of hours away, but it does returns from Sam's, from Amazon, from just all the big box retailers. They'll buy all their returns and then they auction them off on their site. But the only problem is you have to go and pick it up. So I found a couple of pretty good items on there. I've been flipping a few things here and there on Facebook. But check out, I haven't shown you all this one, a paddle racket. Did you even know? I knew about like pickleball, but I didn't know like a paddle racket was a big thing. I sold it for $250. Let me see if I can share this with you. Yeah. Whoa. Here we go. Check that out. It was like, you're on this auction site and I think I ended up bidding $60 for it. I mean, they have the perfect title in there. So all I have to do on this auction site is copy and paste their title into Google. And then you get exactly how, I mean, this is like a $300 racket. And then, so I knew that I could flip it on eBay pretty quick for $250. It's really cool, kind of stepping outside of the hat game a little bit, kind of looking for things like this. I don't know. I'm going to try to do it more. I picked up some bigger stuff that really I have to flip locally. I think I'm going to try and scale that down a little bit and just try to get this stuff that I can ship. The other one was a symbol that I sold for $300. Let me see if I can pull it up.
Yeah, that symbol is legit.
Symbol was, yes.
Was that on eBay or was that on Facebook?
It was on eBay as well.
Dude, shipping that sounds like a pain in the ass.
It came with the original box. So it was awesome.
You're good.
Yeah.
Magic.
Yeah, I'm not a professional screen sharer yet. Here we go.
Yeah. I think we need a Jamie.
Right? Jamie.
Mary.
Google it. Yeah, here's that symbol.
$300.
Yeah, Zildjian makes awesome symbols. I think I paid a little bit more for this one. I think I paid around $130. But I knew it took a little longer to sell to like 30 days. It's been really exciting. Kind of doing a little bit extra on top, but been doing a lot of Facebook Marketplace, and I've been flipping some hats on Facebook Marketplace yet. Do y'all flip much there?
I pick up more from there than I flip there.
Yeah, I buy actually a decent amount, like almost, I don't buy every day, but almost every day I'm at least there, like contacting people.
Yeah, I never really buy from Facebook Marketplace. And the other exciting thing is...
Well, it can be a scary proposition sometimes.
Yeah, I don't let them kind of... I'm like, I tell them exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to be here. This is where the pickup is. This is when we're going to do it. I'm not changing. I'm not driving. I'm not meeting you halfway. I'm not coming to your hometown. This is where the pickup is, and we can do it at this time. If you can be there, great. If not, I'm not going to spend half the day talking about selling this $40 hat. You know, exactly. I mean, if you want it, this is where I'm going to be, and this is how much it is. And it's worked out pretty well, but it's just filtering all that other junk out. It's tough.
Are you listing all the things from your eBay onto Facebook Marketplace, or are you only doing like Oklahoma specific stuff where you're
I think I've found kind of the rhythm for it right now. I think it's I get them in, I find the cool ones, I clean them up a little bit, I take a picture of them, I put them on my Instagram, and then I put it on Facebook Marketplace, and then it usually takes like 2 or 3 days for that item to get into the eBay flow. And then so then if I haven't really sold it in that first two or three days on Instagram or Facebook Marketplace, then it just kicks over to eBay and I sell it on eBay.
Are you getting some sales on Instagram?
Yeah, I've had several people message me about hats, and yeah, I've sold, it's probably about half and half. I've sold about half the hats on Facebook Marketplace, half on Instagram. And so it's been really helpful, and that's all without the fees. And
yeah, exactly. That's the big thing right there. Yeah. No fees.
And, yeah. Going and selling a hat for $30 cash. I mean, here's the other thing. Cash is king. Yeah. I mean, no fees. We had another kind of case study as well. We thought of this week. So, we were talking last week about whether we want to do the fast nickel or the slow dime, right. Which one is better. So how do we figure out that cutoff point? I mean, where is it? I mean, where is the cutoff point for you?
Well, I think for me personally, it depends on the item. If there's a discernible difference in my opinion of its value, that'll push it one way or the other. If it's close, I may try for that quick nickel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. if I'm looking at a shirt and I'm saying 15, 20 bucks, maybe I'll try and shoot for it on whatnot a couple times. Perfect example is a shirt I just dropped into mail today. It's Houston Astros AOP. It was a gorgeous shirt. Wicked. And I ran that thing. I was personally thinking that it was 10, 15 bucks. And I ran that thing on a $7 show on whatnot. Let's see if I can find it for you. Like, had it three times. And it never sold. So I threw it up on eBay, waiting for the, let's see if you can see this.
That shirt's wild.
Yeah. I thought that new with tags too. See it?
Yeah. That's
I threw one. It up on eBay waiting for the baseball season to start. And lo and behold, it's out the door for 25.
Like that. So, that's crazy.
I mean, that's the good thing about eBay though, is that, you know, if you have, you know, say 40 people on a whatnot show, you know, hopefully one of those 40 is a Houston Astros fan. You sure. know what I mean? Like if we're taking the reseller part out of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's like, then you throw it on eBay and now all of a sudden there's, you know, you get access to all of Houston. You know what I mean? Then it's, you know,
yeah. That's like, actually where it's going to Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really want some feedback from you guys out there. What is your kind of strategy on the fast nickel or slow dime? Here's the other thing that kind of went down. About a month ago, Mike found a vintage Nike flat cap at a flea market for $1, right?
Mm-hmm. In South Mississippi.
He runs a whatnot show. I buy it for, we'll say $10. It was probably 10 to 12-ish dollars. I buy it from Mike. Mike makes $9-$10. So let's say Mike makes $10 off of that flat cap in a couple of days, right? Mm-hmm. And then I put it on eBay and I sell it for $45. Now, after I pay the fees, after I pay the shipping, I probably really made 30 minus my cost of goods, which would have been 10-ish dollars. So I made 20. It took about $30. Now, I would think, would you guys wait 30 days for 20 over the 10? Or would you rather make the 10 and then try to make another 10 and then try to make another 10 as quick as possible? What's kind of your strategy there? It can go both ways. And where does that $20 not worth waiting that long for? I think everybody just kind of has to make that decision in their own business. But it's interesting to hear everybody's perspective.
Because I've been telling my buddy, he just got laid off. And so he's like, hey man, I know you do this thing and you know, I want to check it out. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, you know, that it, it's a very viable option. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's what I tell him as far as his buy-in cost to sell is, I'm like, you can find a whole bunch of items that sell for $10, you know, a $10 profit all day. You know what I mean? But I'm like, it's up to you personally if your time is worth, you know, whatever the money is that you're going to make. You know what I mean? You have to be the one that decides whether you should.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Pick this up or not pick it up. And I guess in our case is how to sell it. If, you know what I mean? If like all, if the time that goes into it is worth the return, whether it's, you know, $10 or $50 or whatever that dollar amount is for you, you know, I'm just, that's why I like the whatnot thing, is because, like I said last week, to me, it's just the hustle, you know, it's the being out that is the enjoyment for me. You know what I mean? So there's obviously things that, like a PlayStation that I picked up last weekend, you know what I mean? Like, obviously those are going to go on eBay because I know they go quick and so on and so forth. But it's, you know, I want things out the door as fast as possible, even if it's for a lesser amount, solely because I'm selfish in that way, where it just allows me to be out, you know, in the world more than, you know, at home or whatever. And I don't have a lot of, you know, I live in a townhome. You know, you guys live in like real homes. You guys have a little more space than I do. You know what I mean? So the space factor for Amanda and I definitely plays a role in, like, you know, how many things are we willing to keep for an extended period of time, whether that's 1 month or, you know, 6 months, because, you know, our space is limited, you know?
Right. I could store 8,000 hats at one time, just the way that I have it set up. So definitely is a big difference there on the space is a factor. And, but what do you guys think? How long will you wait to get double the profit? When is that cutoff? Really interested to hear that.
Yeah, I want to know that, and I want to know what, and I want to know not just double the profit, but like the actual dollar amount. You know what I mean? Because like exactly what happened to us is literally the perfect example. It couldn't even happen at a better time either, because we just talked about it last week.
Right.
And literally, like, something I bought sold to you, and you sold, and everybody made money. You know what I mean? And it was like over the course of basically like a month total, really.
Right. You know,
and it was like, that's a good, that's a good look.
Yeah, I had asked Steven if he had bought that for me. So I'm letting you know right now, there's another one of those out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That could be flipped, because I sold it on Whatnot.
Yeah.
So somebody has that same exact lid out there somewhere, whether or not they're going to flip it or not and make the profit that Steven did is another question. I would love to find that out.
And it's
literally a bunch of people in the chat right now. Kim came in, Darren's in, the Hobby Spot has come in.
And, Hobby Spot.
Yeah, Darren says he buys big lots, sells the junk cheap, and then keeps the good stuff to sell at a higher price. And that's kind of what I talked about last week, that I would really prefer to do better at is lotting up the junk and trying to get rid of that in lots and getting and not listing as much junk just to have a bigger store.
If Darren's still in here, I'd be curious to know where he sells the junk at, because I'd be curious to know if he sell that online as well, on like maybe a Whatnot type platform, or if he goes out to one of the markets, like, you know, a flea market or
something.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because like Steven was saying, you don't really have flea markets around you, right?
Right now.
Yeah. So it's like, for, you know, Darren might live in an area where there's a flea market 20 minutes down the road. So when he buys a big lots thing, you know, and he, you know, he, he keeps all the $100 items or whatever his price is. He can take all the rest of the stuff, go to the flea market on a Saturday, spend 3 hours at the flea market, sell everything for $3 or whatever. You know what I mean? And then it's out of his house and he's on to the next one.
Yeah. You know? And really, to me, so we can clarify what junk is. I mean, anything is $10 or under on eBay, I think is pretty much junk.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. It's literally the exact, it's your time is more valuable than the less than $10 hat on eBay. You know what I mean? Like somebody else's, their junk cutoff might be $8 or, you know what I mean? It's all just about, you know, after you factor in all the time and the fees that go into something, you know, is it, then you can categorize your own junk, you know, because there might be some studs out there, dude, that their junk's like $200. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like, listen, how my bank account's set up, it is not like that. Okay.
Right.
Like those are grails. That's what I call grails.
Right. And that's why I'm trying to be just a little bit more strategic about getting higher ticket items and trying to flip those a little bit more. As I'm never like, not going to stop doing hats though, because I love hats.
Yeah.
But
there you go. There's a hot spot right there. He said he buys storage units and then he flea markets any item that's $0 to $20 and anything more than $20, he'll go on eBay. He said he tried whatnot, but he didn't have traction in the category.
Yeah, that is a tough category. I've heard a lot of people complaining on that Facebook group about the storage unit game. It's tough to kind of break into.
Because you got those, like, you know, there's a couple people in there, like, you know, like Corey and Jenna Jig, and there's, you know, probably 5 or 10 superstars in that category, you know what I mean, that have, like, probably been there for a while. They have the eye for, you know, finding like the best units, or, you know, I don't really know how it all goes, but, you know, but
it's also say whatnot, it's the following build up.
Huh?
I said for whatnot, it's all about the following they built up. Yeah. They, you know, everybody has, every category has 5 or so big fish that have been there from day one.
Exactly.
And now everybody follows, and that's how they've gotten so big. And it's literally, you know, early in, build up that following and just keep the train rolling down the tracks.
Yeah, that's what I would say, Hobby. I don't know how many times you tried whatnot. Or it might also be, I think this thing's important too, because everything's not for everybody.
Right.
Like, you know, and that's okay. Like, it's okay to be like, dude, my personality, I'm just not, I don't enjoy doing the whatnot thing, which is, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, not everything has to be for everybody, but if it's something that you enjoy or that you think that you could be good at, you know, I say you got to give it 6 months. You know, you got to be, you're 6 months consistent and you're still only having a couple people in there. Well, then, you know, you might need to try to switch some things up, but if you're going, you know, consistency is everything, you know what I mean? And you get good at things regardless of what it is by repetition. You know what I mean? Yeah. And by making mistakes and, you know, losing a couple bucks here and, you know, things like that, you'll eventually get good at it. You will.
Yeah. I figured out the only reason I really like whatnot is the people and to get people a good deal and to kind of a way to connect with the people that I've met through the internet, whether it be through YouTube or Instagram or whatever, to be able to connect with them and share some good items with them and hopefully get them a good deal every now and then. To for it to be my full-time gig, I would have to be in a world of hurt probably. It's just not me. I just can't do it. But I like talking to people and for an hour every month and getting them a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, it's just not everybody's thing.
It's definitely not for everybody. I've personally witnessed two people rage quit.
Almost rage.
One of them actually lives here in my house, though.
Right.
That's really so funny.
Say that because she's in the chat right now.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, there she is right there.
There she is, hand up. But you know what? She took that negative energy from that show. I mean, literally that night, 10 minutes after rage quitting, and listed like, you know, 20 of those purses that were in that show and sold 2 within an hour. Her thing is Mercari, not eBay. So she's all about Mercari, and Mercari pays her back.
I got to plug in, boys. I was at 10%, dude. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Come on,
don't
man.
Die dude, on us.
Tighten up. I think that's important. And I also think, you know, like what Hat House said last week is, you know, your buy-in cost has to be super low. If you're buying things that you don't, you know, it's a lot easier to say, hey, that Oklahoma script behind you, you're going to go out and buy it from somebody for $30, which isn't, I wouldn't necessarily say is a low buy-in, but for that specific hat, if you sell it on Whatnot, it's 10 times out of 10 times, it'll go for more than $30.
Yeah. You'll just be too stressed about the show. Yeah. You just won't have any fun. If you're oxygen things off and obviously losing money.
Yeah.
And then kind of a segue, I want to get to our second one and definitely talk about how we can help with, how can we market the shows better? How can we market ourselves better, our brand better? I had a lot of questions, I had like two or three people ask me this week when we kind of hit on the Instagram last week, wanting to know more about Instagram and how we can do better and how we can build our accounts on Instagram and what we can do there. I've been really fortunate. I've used a couple of strategies. I've got like 2,400 followers on Instagram, so I am not the biggest person, but
he has the juice. He does have the juice, dude. Hey, he shouts you out, bud. You're getting 10 plus followers. I'm telling you right now, dude.
10 followers.
Easily, dude. I was like, God, man, he has got the juice, son. Let's go.
So I'm sitting at 660 right now.
660. And then, I mean, you just started your Instagram fired up.
Yeah, like it ain't nothing. It's like I got
3 or 4 months ago.
130 followers or something like that. Yeah.
But you're like brand. It's basically a brand new account that you're trying to start over.
Yeah, it is.
So I want to bring a couple of things to think about when you're building this Instagram. One is if you're going to do a regular account or you're going to do a business account. And I want people to think about doing the business account. The problem with the business account is you can't really use any good music if you switch over, because you have to use like the corporate music.
Right.
But if you do switch over to business account is when you can really do the ads and you can get better analytics on how well your stuff is performing, on which posts are doing well and whatnot. But I really wanted to get to followers, on how we really get more followers. First, I'll go over the things do not do. Whatever you do, do not buy any followers ever. It will totally ruin your Instagram account if you go out there and you get those bots to follow you, because later when you want to run an ad and it's going to look at the same people that follow you, it's going to be all these random people, and you're never going to be able to, and when Instagram is going to suggest who to follow and who should follow you, it's never going to have the right type of people that's going to be suggested to follow. So that's the worst thing you can do. Don't ever fall into that trap of buying followers or getting those type of followers. It's terrible. Let me pull up my list here real quick. The other was, do not use the automatic eBay post either. I did that from when it first came out on eBay, probably about a year and a half ago. And it was like, you can automatically take your listings that you list on eBay and it automatically shoots them over to Instagram. Nobody wants to see your eBay listings on Instagram. They never got any likes. Nobody ever shared them. I never gained a follower by just reposting my eBay store basically onto Instagram. People do not care about that. The best way that I have found to gain followers is to follow people. It's the free way. Ads work, but just following people. And if you don't know who to follow, you find who's your favorite person on Instagram, and you go and who do you like, who follows them, and whose followers do you like, and you go to their account and you just say, hey, I'm going to follow everybody that's following him. I'm going to follow all the people that he follows. The problem with this is you only get like 50 a day. Once you hit that button more than 50 times, it'll say come back tomorrow. Basically, you can't. So it takes time. It's like everything.
Also, it doesn't think you're a bot doing it,
right?
Yeah.
And it's like anything, it's consistency. You gotta do it every single day. And some of those people will follow you back. You'll get good followers that way. That's how you get good followers, is by actually following other people and then following you back. And the second thing that I do too, though, is if I don't interact with people, I will unfollow them. If they're not going to like my stuff and they're not posting anything that I'm liking, I'm probably not going to continue to follow that person anyways. I mean, it's just the way that it is. Not trying to be mean to anyone, but, you have to be engaged with Instagram and me, or I'm not going to continue to follow you. So I think that part's really important too, to keep your list right. And when Instagram's looking for who to follow, is to make sure you clear out those people that you really don't ever like their stuff, and they don't ever really like your stuff. If you do go with the business account, I ran an ad this week, right? So it ended up costing me almost $1 a follower. Mm. It cost me, that's way too expensive. You want to find your best content. We talked about Reels last week and how you've got to make Reels to get out there, and you have to make good Reels if you really want to grow organically and do a little bit less. But once you have the business account, you can kind of go and see, hey, which ones have done the best, and those are the ones that I want to promote. But it's not going fiscally, what's the word I'm looking for?
You know, to get that ROI you're looking for.
Right. ROI. You're not going to get the ROI on an ad. I mean, you will pick up some people, but you couldn't afford to grow to 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 followers just on ads that I have found so far.
Right.
So really it's about following.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Find people and maintaining your list, dropping off the dead ones, and then keep following people that are kind of in your community, and hopefully they'll follow you back.
Yep. And I say you got to add in the interaction as well. I mean, that, because you could take most of what you just said for Instagram over to Whatnot as well.
For sure.
I mean, you don't have to worry about Whatnot offering you up who to follow and all that. But if you take some of those philosophies you have for Instagram to Whatnot, and then you're going into other people's shows, you're interacting, you know, you're being supportive of the other sellers and interacting with the other buyers, even if they're not buyers, they're just there to hang out, whatever. But being part of the community, which is the big thing of Whatnot, that's the largest attraction Whatnot has, other than the best prices that you could find on the planet.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But it's all, you know, everybody falls in love with the community. You got to be part of it.
Yep.
Yeah. You got to spend time when you're not running shows. I think, I mean, you both do a really good job of that. I think Coach might be, in my opinion, one of the best at being in, you know, so many different lives or whatever, you know,
I called him the Whatnot ambassador.
Oh, I mean, yeah, this guy, he goes into so many lives and like people know him in there. And then you can see that, you know, on the flip side of that coin, like when he goes live, a lot of those people that are not only doing the live that he's in, but also the people that are just in the chat and interacting will come to his live, you know? And if, even if you were to convert 10 or 15% of those people to buyers, that's 10 or 15% more people than you would have if you, you know, were right.
And that's what I tell people, man. Just come hang out. Look.
Yeah. You see something you like. Go into another person's show when you're not running, and you don't even have to be a buyer. Like maybe, you know, maybe the budget's tight. Maybe there's just they're not having things that you necessarily want or need. You just got to be in there chit chatting, be like, dude, that was a good pickup. Damn, that's a nice, right. A good shirt. That's a, you know, this, that, and the other. So, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you got to be.
I don't think people realize, you know, it's okay to not buy. I mean, obviously we're there to sell. That's what we want to do. But if you're in a situation where, you know, hey, you don't get paid till next week, your money's a little tight, come hang out, because you and five other people hanging out add six people to my show. That number then goes up, and then I rise to the top of the algorithm for that night. So that there's a method to the madness of just come hang out. You know, obviously you're adding to the chat. It makes it a valuable moment. I mean, we're having a quality, like the other night, you know, there was 50, 60 people in the show, and I'm trying to run the show and you guys are maintaining the chat. And from what I could see, because it was starting to roll pretty good, it looked like it was a good time.
Right.
You know, people start having side conversations about stuff. That's when your shows get good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you want people to go in there and it's like, you know, it's like they've just entered a group chat with their friends. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you want, you know? Like, I'm like, dude, I don't even have to be a part of every conversation that happens in my shows. I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I'm totally lost. I don't even know what the hell's happening. Just like in my actual group chats on my real phone. I'm like, sometimes I'm just like, dude, I'm here, I guess. But like, you know, you guys are doing your own thing, which is cool.
What I miss?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
somebody catch me up.
Exactly. I'm like, I just read through it and I'll be like, dang, all right, sweet. As long as people are, you know, as long as they're enjoying themselves. You know, the same thing with Instagram. I think, like, you know, my personal Instagram has, you know, over 1,000 followers, and not all of those are like my actual, like, people that I really know. Cause I got big into fishing I fished my whole life, but so, you know, a ton of my followers on my personal Instagram are a lot of like fishing, you know, people. And I did the exact same thing that Steven just talked about, was, you know what I mean? I'd go to like the big guys, I'd follow a lot of their stuff, I'd always like, you know what I mean? So on and so forth. And then, you know, you just will get followers that way, you know? And then if people aren't posting things that you enjoy that you followed, then I just unfollow you. And I'm like, and if you unfollow, and you'll lose followers too. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's doing the thing, and it's like, hopefully more of yours stick than don't, you know what I mean? And then it's like, you also get to discover, you know, people that are like have interesting content and post reels and like, you know, things that you like, and you're like, oh dude, this is cool.
Yeah. I think I lost like 15 to 20 followers this week, but I still had a net gain.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody's going to like what I do, and I get that, and I can't take it personally. The last thing I want to say, Darren brought it up. That he likes the reels, but can't really figure out how to do them. The number one app to making reels and to making easy content is CapCut. It's CapCut is what I use everything to make every video on my computer, but the app on your phone, CapCut, and I know it's probably Chinese spyware and whatever. And, and it did get shut down from the TikTok ban. It went down too. I think TikTok owns CapCut, but it's one where you can just hit AI. You can put in like 15 pictures. Say you just took 15 pictures of polo shirts or hats or whatever it may be. And it's how you get away from just regurgitating your eBay store look. And you can just use AI to put like 12, 15 pictures in, and it will actually cut those pictures up and zoom in and put it with music and all of that. And it'll make some really good reels. So if anybody's looking to making content easily, they definitely got to get get CapCut. And it's easy to use on your phone, but also the computer. I've used all these other ones. They're not even close to just being easy to use and user-friendly, basically. So
somebody in here said something earlier that I caught a glimpse of that I wanted. Oh, here we go. Fired up. Should video his interaction with the guy getting the backstory and share it on YouTube.
For sure. Definitely need to see that.
I've been, Amanda and I talk about, I know we're kind of coming to the end or whatever, but Amanda and I talk about YouTube all the time. And I'm like, you know, for as outgoing and, you know, not like, not that I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I think that's like a dumb thing, but you know, I'm still like, dude, YouTube just seems very like nerve wracking to me because we like have a GoPro and everything and so on. And I literally, for some reason, I can't put it on out in public. I don't know why. I have a block and it's the dumbest thing ever. Cause I'm like, I'll go up to your great grandma and have a 2-hour conversation with her. I swear on my life. I will, you know, I'll talk about bacon.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? You're like, and how nice your nightgown is, but I can't have a freaking GoPro on, dude. It like, I don't know what it is about that.
Well, I mean, that changes the situation then. If you got a GoPro on, grandma might not talk to you about her nightgown. Yeah.
I know. And I'm like, so I looked into those Meta glasses because I was like, well, dude, maybe this would be a way where it's still like, you know, you can record things and like not necessarily just interactions with other human beings, but like going out and finding stuff. But it's not making me feel like, you know, I like just, I don't know, like weird, I guess. And it's not even weird, like, but it's just, it make me personally feel weird. And then it's like, oh, hey, yeah, it only records 3 minutes at a time. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. I'm like, you know. But that I will, I mean, I'll try to do that, you know. If I don't do it, it'll only be because of my just random, unnecessary insecurity about it. You know what I mean? That'll be it.
Yeah, the YouTube is really kind of either, that's kind of the entertainment side, and you were definitely more of an entertainer. The other way to do YouTube has to be how to. The biggest video that I ever had that blew up, and really the only, I guess, viral video that I've had was washing hats. And I just was saying something that nobody else would say for some weird reason. Yes, you can wash a hat. It's not going to ruin it. I mean, you've heard all your life that washing a hat will ruin it. It was just so dumb. Yeah. Yes, like any piece of clothes, yeah, there is going to be some clothes that you put in the washing machine and it might ruin it. Same goes with the hats, but most hats you can just wash them. But anyways, how to is the way to go on YouTube, unless you're like a huge personality like you are, and you can be. Huge personalities definitely shine through. But the other way for YouTube is how to videos. And I just can't do, how to make an eBay listing or how to do this or how to do that. Those videos, if I was going to do more YouTube, I would have to do those. I don't think my personality is just big enough to be Harry Tornado or whatever.
Yeah, like out in public. But I mean, dude, it's even at home. It's like, I mean, you know, I mean, there's probably some how-tos that some groundbreaking thing that nobody's ever done before, but you know what I mean? And I'm still just like, you know, I'm like, I feel super awkward, like looking at a camera for no reason. And I'm like, dude, why do I feel like this? I'm like, this makes no sense. But, you know, I guess everybody kind of has their thing regardless. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like, sure do. If you want to get around that, you need to strap it on, but don't turn it on.
Wait a second. Okay. We need to make sure we're talking about the GoPro. We're talking about the GoPro, right?
Yeah, the GoPro. Okay.
I didn't want anybody in the chat or that's going to watch this later get any wild ideas.
Look, this is coming from the guy that knocks on a door in the best part of town. So that goes in a house into the bedroom with a guy with no shirt on.
Yeah, dude, he doesn't even know. Yeah, he did. He only had about 5 pieces of chest hair, too, right in the middle.
Did he have tidy whities?
No, he was wearing some plaid, like pajama bottoms.
He was wearing pajama bottoms when they went in. When Michael turned around, there was no pajama bottoms.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, yeah, old saggy butt, you know?
Yeah, you could have them all.
Yeah, I don't know. I really should. And also, I know we're running out of time. I don't know, whatever, if you guys want to end it. But there's a guy that has a decent following on YouTube, too, from my city called Firebender. And he's, like, actually one of my friends, like, in real life. And, he records at our flea market. You know what I mean? And so it's, like, it's even though he said a million times, like, dude, anybody that wants to create content, like, this is, you know, I don't have, like, a lock on it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to feel like you guys are, like, trying to steal my thing. You know what I mean? Like, he's literally the coolest guy ever. But.
Well, go with him.
You know what I mean? Well, yeah, like, but it's also like, damn, I feel like if I have a GoPro on, even though he said that he doesn't feel like this, I'll still feel like he's feeling like this. You know what I mean? So it's like, damn, dude, I don't want to do the same thing in my same city where somebody's also doing it, because I feel like I'm trying to steal their thing or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I guess it's all about me, but yeah.
Dan, your insecurities.
A source.
Well, right. Yeah, but the other side of that
next week on the Raiders of Reselling.
The other side of that is, if you actually go with him, you're providing content for him.
Yeah.
Right.
You're helping him out.
Yeah, for sure.
We're gonna invite a psychiatrist next week here to Raiders of Reselling to help Mike and talk through his camera issues.
Yeah. Yeah. I have freaking right. block of just
like, where on the head did he touch you?
Just keep spinning it, dude. I'll be like, next thing you know, I'll be like, everybody's gassing. That thing's sick, dude. I might need that, actually. I might need that.
It'll be available for sale Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time.
There we go. Y'all better put more than $10 on it, because I got a 10 spot for that one for Coachella next year. So I'm going to be out there raving with my nips out. That one's nice, too.
This Jack's color's there.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Look at what I'm saying.
All right, Coach. You're going to be Saturday night and the usual time?
Yes, sir. Saturday night, 7 p.m. Everything you see behind me right there. Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, coach is locked and loaded.
What about you fired up? Are you still recovering?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good for a while. I have something scheduled like towards the middle of the month, of next month. But you know, I told Amanda I did a Sunday show and a Monday show, and Sunday show was, 75 pieces alone, and then 200 and something pieces on Monday. So Amanda's, I overwhelmed Amanda with the amount of like work that I did the, last week or so. So I told her I would take a couple weeks and we would just go and do stuff and, so.
Okay. You chill out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You gotta reload anyways.
Oh yeah. It's a little bit like climbing Mount Everest in a way. Cause it's like, I feel like once you climb Mount Everest and touch the tip, okay. Well, and that's how I wanted it to come out. But, and so, it's kind of like the other mountains are, that you go to climb, or they don't seem as nice once you get a crazy sale like that. So
yeah.
I got to just take a little break and get the wind back under my wings.
All right. Until next time, we will definitely climb that mountain and we'll touch the tip, because I got some more. I didn't even get
it on.
And strap it on next time, all for you guys. But I didn't even get to some of the more exciting news that I had either. I think I shared it with you guys yesterday, but I've got more exciting news. I still didn't get an hour goes by really quick. So definitely got to update you guys on some more stuff next week as well. And I'm sure we will be back. And we never know what time, though, is the only problem. Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, 7 or 8 o'clock-ish. That's we're trying to shoot for. So
yeah, you guys can blame that on me because of my work schedule. So I apologize for
No, this week is on me.
Yeah, I will say we can completely and utterly blame Coach this week. Absolutely. But typically it's, because my work or whatever. But yeah.
Well, all right, guys.
You fight fire, so I'm pretty sure we could, be okay with that.
You get a bye. All right. Make sure and check us out anywhere you can get your podcast. I think I uploaded it everywhere. So appreciate you guys, and we'll definitely see you next week.
Thank you guys.
See ya.
As my granddaughter does.
Oh.
Thanks, guys.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.